Hello, I'm Bill Benning, your host for this segment of Crecillo Corner here on WHYF 720 AM Holy Family Radio, our Catholic radio station here in central Pennsylvania. And as we do each presentation, let us open with a prayer. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of us, your faithful, and kindle in us the fire of your love. Send forth your Spirit, and they shall be created, and you shall renew the face of the earth. Let us pray. O God, who by the light of the Holy Spirit did instruct the hearts of the faithful, grant by the same Holy Spirit we may be truly wise and ever rejoice in his constellations. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. As I've said on previous shows, the Crecillo movement here in the Harrisburg Diocese is active and growing. Crecillo Corner is here to provide information and share with you the many positive aspects of the movement. How? By talking with men and women that are Cursiestas, and by listening to them as they share their experiences as members of the movement. Our goal, through conversation, discussion, and witnessing, is to give a personal look at what it means to be a Cursiesta, a member of the movement. But Crecillo Corner is not just for those that are currently active in the movement. Hopefully those not active at this time will find a path back to the movement. And finally, for those listening and hearing about Crecillo for the first time, may want to dive deeper into what the movement is all about. Our hope is that everyone listening finds value in the information being presented, as well as the talks we have with our guests. If you are a member of Crecillo, or if you even are not a member but would like more information, please go to our website, which is harrisburg-crecillo.org, for more information. And Crecillo is spelled C-U-R-S-I-L-L-O. Without further delay, let me welcome our guest for today. He has been involved with Crecillo for a number of years. I have known Deacon for, 7 or 8 years, and I'm excited to learn more about him and his path to Crecillo. Deacon Greg Almoretto, welcome to Crecillo Corner.
Thank you, Bill. And I'm not sure how many years it's been, but I'm glad you admit it, that we know each other. That's how we know each other, is through Crecillo.
Absolutely.
Part of the great things about our movement is how it brings us together to new and beautiful ways of knowing God through one another.
Yes. And you say that we went through Crecillo. We both had different roles with Crecillo. Mm-hmm. And I probably met on a weekend, I would think, is where we first met.
I think you were a coordinator for one of the weekends that I met you on, and I was either in the kitchen, or maybe I was a spiritual advisor at that time.
Yeah. But it all becomes a little blurry.
It does. It does. Yeah.
Well, what we like to do is we like to get a little bit of background about the guests that come on the show. So Deacon and I have talked a little bit about a format, if you would. But I'd like to know a little bit, if we can, and you tell the guests or the people on the show, a little bit about yourself, like maybe where you're from, your siblings, those types
of
things.
Sure, yeah. So I'm Deacon Gregory Amarante. I grew up in Danville and went to St. Joseph Parish with my family. My mother and father moved there some years. I was kind of like a change of life child for them. I had three older siblings who are still here or there. One is in... My brother Philip is in Danville still. He never went gallivanting like I did. He's great. He's a rock. He's a rock in that community there. My sister's down here in Hershey area, so I get to see her a little bit more now that I'm down here. And my other brother Michael is in Mississippi, and I'll be visiting him soon. I'm married to Ellen for 30 years this year.
Awesome.
We have two children who are both married, as we were married young. They both have three kids, and we're happy grandparents. Good and happy deal. Parents still.
Uh-huh.
So. And I'm a deacon for about 13 years now.
Wow,
in the
that
diocese.
Long already?
Yep.
Oh my gosh.
So
So you're the youngest of the siblings.
I'm the baby.
You're the baby.
It took me the longest to grow up.
Well, I was sort of in that boat also. I have two older sisters and two younger sisters, so I'm always being reminded how spoiled I was because of that situation of being the youngest. So as far as your faith journey that you've been on, Your home life at home with your parents, was faith a strong part of that?
It wasn't. My mom always and dad early on always made it sure that we were going to Mass. At the point, though, I think my father was disillusioned. He hadn't gone to Mass for a while, as far as we knew. And later on, he came back. He would go to with mom all the time. So we did grow up in the faith. But I think there were still unanswered questions. My teen years met with learning kind of about grace through my sister. She's the first one who kind of came home from college. She had a born-again experience. So she was no longer Catholic at that time, but she helped me realize that grace was not dependent on me as much as it was God. And so I first kind of abandoned fears then that, I had to go to hell or like that was a real possibility for me. Like I was always afraid of it. It was always hanging over my head. And so I really put myself in God's hands at that point in a very real act of faith for the first time in my life. Unfortunately, that did lead me away from the Catholic Church, but it did lead me closer to God. And, after about 13 years of being away, I kept asking questions. I kept studying, eventually tried to convert a Catholic. My friend, he was not my friend at the time. He was my boss. I tried to convert him, and his answers wound up bringing me back into the Catholic Church.
Really interesting. Yeah. As I talk to people on this show, I'm amazed at some people's faith journey, and how they're all different, but they're all alike in many ways. And I've had situations in my family where church Sundays, that was basically it. Sacraments, of course. Mm-hmm. But then once we got married, my wife and I are married 53 years. Once we got married, we made Mass when it was convenient, more so. Mm-hmm. But then when we had a family, started a family, that's when it hit us that, you know what? Faith's really important, and our Catholic faith is important. Mm-hmm. So we started to stress that more. You found the same thing, I'm sure.
It was a little different for Ellen and I. So I married her as kind of a fundamentalist. We were outside of the Catholic Church at that time, but we were Christians. Mm-hmm. And, we were, studying our Bibles, and we were really faithful. And, faith was definitely going to be something that we were unified on, and for the sake of our children, we were going to hand it on. Mm-hmm. That got shaken pretty deeply when I told her I was going to go back to the Catholic Church because she wasn't open to discussing the things I was discussing with Bernie. And when it happened, it happened. I couldn't deny what I was reading in the early fathers of the church. This stuff wasn't made up in the Middle Ages. All the things that we believe, we can see the development of the doctrine right from the apostles through. And I remember calling my brother, Philip, at midnight when my wife was away because I was reading the fathers of the church. And I said, I have to come back to the Catholic Church. And
that's amazing. I didn't know that about you. Yeah. Sort of sounds like you had a Scott Hahn moment where you just...
Yeah, some people say that. In fact, Father Weary would say that Ellen and I were his Scott and Kimberly Hahn. it took Ellen a year or two. She'll tell you, and we've given our story before, and she said she left. She left for like 3 weeks, went to her sister's place. She was going to scare me back out of the Catholic Church. And thanks be to God. Her sister said, how is he? Is he mean? Is he, is he treating you badly? And she said, no, actually, everything's better. And so her sister said, then you need to go and talk to your husband.
Oh, that's awesome.
She's not a Catholic. She wouldn't have any reason to convert particularly and so here she is encouraging her sister to come back and talk to me. And so we did. We talked once a week for weeks on end because we couldn't talk about it all the time. And eventually she said she wanted to go to RCIA.
The intervention of the Holy Spirit, huh?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness gracious. Well, obviously you faced some hurdles in your faith life, but I was wondering, as you face this hurdle or other hurdles, how do you, in a mindset, how do you overcome them? What's your approach to when you face something like this?
I've learned more and more. I'm not sure I knew it at the time, But it is a sense of abandonment. Like, you can't control these kind of responses and the people who are in your life. You know, you can only be who you are and do what you know to do. I remember at the time when Ellen went away, like, the first thing I did was like, okay, now I get to go to daily mass. You know, I'm going to continue to pray my chaplet of divine mercy for the reconciliation of all of this, you know. So it was a sense of abandonment. You know, I'm reading now, rereading, Searching for and Maintaining Peace by Father Jacques Philippe. And it's just, that's what it is. You know, there's several books on this, you know, abandonment, trusting in God, you can't control it. And you make, you know, through prayer and supplication, you make what your needs are known to Him, and you just trust Him that it's all part of His plan.
Surrender, huh?
It is. It's surrender.
It takes a lot. Yeah. Just to switch gears a little bit before we go to the break, what motivates you? How do you define success?
Success is such a strange word to use here. I do what I can find in my, like, I feel like called to be a deacon. I have to be a deacon. And when I was a deacon in secular employment, I did what I could, you know, within my life to be at the church and to live out my faith and to fulfill the call. But, you know, I really found my own here now that I found the job with the Diocesan Center working in Catholic life and evangelization. This is what I'm made to do.
Oh, yeah. And you know you do it well.
I mean, well, thank you.
I'm not trying to pat you on the back here, which nobody can see anyway. But yeah, you really do it well, and it's obvious that you are 100% committed to being a deacon and to reaching out to people and spreading the faith. So we're very grateful for that. We're very grateful for the fact that you've come in and talked to us today. But what we'd like to do is we'd like to take a little break here, and what we'll concentrate on now after the break is we'll concentrate on Crucio specifically and see if we can dive into some of the things that motivated you, talk about where you got started, how you got started, what it's led to for you, and what influence or impact it has on your life. So this is Crucio Corner. We'll be back in just a moment. Welcome back to Crucio Corner. I'm here with Deacon Greg Amorato, and first segment we spoke a little bit about, talked a little bit about him and his journey as a Catholic, and in some cases not as a Catholic.
Not as a Catholic. That's right.
But now we'd like to focus more on Crucio. But I'd like to ask you, Deacon, what was that first interaction? What got you involved?
Well, you may know the iconic name of Father William Weary, who was my pastor in Danville at the time I came back to the church. He was the one who received me back, and he was there kind of step by step through my experience with Ellen and Ellen's decision to come back. So, you know, he was our pastor, our family priest. And he said, you know, I'd really like you to make a Crucio. And so I did. I don't know if I really hesitated much. Mm-hmm. We found a date, you know, whichever date worked for us based on the Crucio schedule, and I went, and then Ellen went, and
How long ago was this?
Early 2000s, probably 2003.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah, it's really interesting to me how different people have come to become part of the movement, or Cruciesta, as we call them. In my own case, I had a gentleman that was very into his faith at church at Our Lady of Lourdes. And actually, I approached him at the first time because I had heard people talking about it. And Bob set me up and said, well, I need to talk to you a little bit more about it, you know, because it can be a powerful weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And back then, if you remember, it was secrecy.
It was a lot of secrecy. It was like,
if I tell you too much, you know, I don't know what's going to happen to me.
Yeah, because you don't want to say, this is going to be your experience,
right.
And I understand that.
Yeah, I do. I absolutely do, too. Yeah. And the fact that he was open to letting me peek in a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? I saw in him how the Holy Spirit was working. So that as with Father Weary. Mm-hmm. You know, so I was in pretty quick with it. But the movement, what has it had an impact on your personal life?
Well, number one, it's the accountability, right? So I was very good at apologetics. Mm-hmm. Coming back into the church, right? Having mm-hmm. reasons for the faith. I could play the chess game with people who are not Catholic. And I knew the Bible verses. I knew some of the philosophy, you know. But, you know, coming into the church and getting connected to people in Curcio who were also part of our conversion, whether it was, Charles and Holly Billet, for example, you know, in Daniel. You know, I talk about Father Weary. I can't talk about him without also talking about the Billets, who were so instrumental in just embracing us, but also were Curcistas and had that heart that, you know, moved the faith from my head 16 inches down into my heart a little further, a little more deeply. And that's what Curcio is also meant to do. It's for the whole human person. It's for your intellectual development, that's study, right? Mm-hmm. And action, that's our heart. That's the faith getting into our heart and being evidenced through our actions. And that includes our piety, you know. So, you know, not just saying our prayers, but, you know, living our prayers,
mm-hmm.
Living the liturgy as, you know, not just participating or being at the liturgy on a Sunday, but letting that imbue our lives. And Curcio encourages us to share that with one another and to be accountable for that with one another and have a plan for our apostolic action in life.
Yeah. You know, I'm glad you mentioned that because it's something that I try and bring up in these talks is, you know, the piety, study, and action aspect of it. And because we do want to, in Curcio Corner, let people know a little bit about, mm-hmm. you know, what some of the concentrations are for the weekend. And those three certainly do fall in that. And you're right. You know, it gives us a roadmap. If we can live those, observe those, use those as our guide, it really makes a difference in our lives when we do that. So that's from your personal aspect. And then now that you're involved in a movement, what kind of involvement have you had? I'll let you tell them what
okay,
you do now.
Okay, yeah. So what I do now. You know, you asked me what motivated me earlier, and you know, when I joined that question to the Curcio movement, it has to be the joy, right? Mm-hmm. I cannot explain the experience of a Curcio weekend, whether you're making it yourself or witnessing it as a part of a team. So I've been part of Curcio teams as like the guy cooking in the kitchen. Right. I wasn't a layperson doing rollos at the time. I either worked in the kitchen, it wasn't on leadership, but eventually when I went through the diaconal formation program and I was ordained a deacon, I had the opportunity to be an assistant spiritual advisor. I've done that for this, what we call the secretariat for Curcio, but also on the weekends where you have a priest who's your spiritual advisor. And, you know, if you can have an assistant, it could be a deacon or a religious, like a sister or a brother.
Mm-hmm.
And so I get to kind of provide the doctrinal and faith-related talks on a weekend and work with an amazing group of lay leaders. You know, I'm on the team and we're kind of like leadership, but what I really love about that is I get to see the laity of the church entering into the holiness that we've been called to. From the Second Vatican Council, and even before, you know, I'm reading St. Francis de Sales' Introduction to the Devout Life again. And that's all about the universal call to holiness, you know, so much earlier than the Second Vatican Council. So,
yeah.
And that's the joy. That motivates me. What I get to see on those weekends is so motivational. If I could do a weekend every weekend, it'd be amazing.
Yeah. I think, you know, when we talk about that, when the guys or the girls get together and we talk about that, you know, what is it that brings us back to work the weekend? You know, it's the things you may mention. And for many of us, it's seeing the person show up that first day at the weekend and then seeing that person the last day on the weekend.
Yes.
And seeing through their eyes and through their speech and through their joy. What has happened over that weekend. And it's not something that you can put your finger on. Mm-hmm. It's not something that, and I think that's why for many years, Curcio wasn't as open as it is today, because you can't define it. Mm-hmm. You just can't. It's a personal experience for each person, and it goes a long way sometimes in their life. So working the weekends, what aspect, now you mentioned in general about the weekend, but is there any aspect specifically that the weekend just hits you, you know?
That hits me?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. It has to be the clausura, right?
Mm-hmm. Explain clausura a little bit.
So clausura is an opportunity for those who have made the weekend to kind of say back to us, you know, what their experience was. And when I hear somebody say, well, just on this last weekend we had with the women, mm-hmm. I think, you know, you were at the clausura, I think. Mm-hmm. And the person said, for the first time in my life, I feel that God loves me. That is transformational. Mm. I mean, I could almost shed a tear right now thinking about that moment, because that is an experience of the people of God surrounding her, imbuing the weekend with love, not just, well, with the charity of God, and having prayed about it, prayed about them, poured their, you know, their own personal time and effort into showing these people that you are welcomed, you are beautiful, we want to be part of your life. So from beginning to end, like, that's just a summary. That's a summation statement of why we exist for Curcio. Mm-hmm. That's what we exist to do in Curcio.
Yeah.
And when I hear stuff like that, that's the best part.
Yeah, that same clausura you're talking about, one thing that stands out to me is the one of the women that said, I never realized so many people loved me.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
You know, and that's, the weekend is all about love, I mean, and service. Another reason that we like to work the weekend is because of service.
Mm-hmm.
Totally giving of yourself to the other, you know, not thinking about what's going on at home necessarily, or what some of your challenges are in life, but total service toward the other person.
You know, one of the people, like you're saying, like one of the people said, I never felt like I had a place in the church until now.
Yeah. Right? Yeah, isn't that powerful?
Yeah.
And that people can come away from something, and I'll use the word loosely, as simple as a Curcio weekend, but with the movement of the Holy Spirit, have the ability to think that way after the weekend. It's, you know, just so strong.
As we talk about people who may not be involved with Curcio right now, or who went through a Curcio weekend, one thing stands out to me is the people who are on Curcio teams who said, you know, my Curcio weekend wasn't that transformational, right? I didn't see what other people saw, but they saw in those other people their experiences. And so they decided to join a team the next time around and get involved with School of Leaders, or, mm-hmm. you know, be a leader in the community anyway as a result. And what I find is when they do that, they're hooked too. They're like, yes, like my weekend, I didn't move from, you know, a huge rock out of my way or anything. It was a good experience, okay, but wow, I really love being part of the Curcio movement and being on a weekend or being, you know, in a small group, because that's where it's at for them.
Yeah.
So, you know, we talk about, you know, an experience, we talk about these big movements,
mm-hmm.
but it's not always a big movement there. It's just a good experience. And then the big movement for them is experiencing it over and over again as leaders in the community.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. And yeah, one way we can keep that going, you know, is a thing that we call Altrea.
That's
you know,
right.
And if we remain involved in a movement and Altrea's specifically, that fire sort of stays alive, and we get the opportunity to use the things that we talked about, our piety study in action,
mm-hmm.
and that just for me enhances when I do work a weekend.
Yeah,
you know, so that's very important. So this has been very good. I really enjoy speaking to you. I learned some things about you I didn't know, that you were spoiled as a kid.
That's for sure.
One of the most important things. I'd like to thank you for being here, Deacon, and giving of your time. And we appreciate you as a deacon, and we certainly appreciate you as the assistant lay director, or as the assistant spiritual director.
There we go.
Of the movement. Yeah, I put you in another role there already.
That's right.
So, but unfortunately, I see our time is about up. And I wanted to thank you again, Deacon, for spending time with us.
Thank you, Bill.
Hopefully you can come back at some time.
Oh, I'd love to.
But before we go, I want to remind everyone that you can find out more information about the Crucio here in the Harrisburg Diocese on our website, harrisburg-crucio.org. Again, spell that C-U-R-S-I-L-L-O because it isn't pronounced as it's spelled. Mm-hmm. And if you have any questions about anything about Crucio related and would like a personal response to your questions, or would like just to talk about the movement, don't hesitate to reach out to me. And my email is billb671@verizon.net. In closing, from the Crucio Corner, until we meet again, be well, God bless, and De Coloris.
De Coloris.